got up about 6:30, went downstairs. Since it's Saturday, I had my cup of coffee, and then he started talking to me right away. He says, use the tools that I've given you to help the people learn how I'm speaking to you. Now, you'll have scripture references, and on those scripture references, you'll be able to see what I'm pulling from and what God is gleaning. He's allowing me to glean from. Okay, did you get on it?
No, I don't know how to do it.
Okay, no, you got to show her how to do it first. Don't just do it. How many of you know that every time you just do it for somebody, they don't learn how to do it? You got to let them do it, and you'll learn. Okay? So, Pastor, can we bring our phones? Yeah, bring your phones. But make sure they're on silent. Just make sure they're on silent. That's it. Well, I may have a call coming in. Just make sure that it's on silent. That's it. All right, I'll make sure everybody's there. Go. You went to the website? Okay, did he download the app? YouVersion app? I promise to have you out of here still by 12. See, that's pretty good. Midnight, that is. Yeah. All right. Who still needs it? Ben, you got it? You have the YouVersion Bible app? Looks like the little red one. Okay, let me see it. We're going to be interactive here. Be interactive. Okay, click on that right there. Uh-huh. And then go to YouVersion Live. Okay, click on that link. Okay, go ahead and go to your home. Just your home page. No, just yours. That one. Okay. Do you have the Bible app? YouVersion Bible? Okay, go to your... did you get it on your... Or you don't have it? Okay, go right there and just do YouVersion. The YOU. Do YOU. YOU. Version Live. Yeah, I think because so many people got on it. YouVersion Bible. Go to that. Click on it. Okay, hold on. And then what you're going to do is, yep, download it. Down the Bible app. Once it's finished downloading, you're going to come back up and go to it and click and on the side here. You'll find YouVersion Live. It'll say Live. Go to Live, search for Live Version, and then you'll look for the House of Man on there, and then it'll come up. Okay, now what I'm going to show you is going to help all of us. A lot of times you've noticed that I will go, you can go ahead and turn this off, David, and then lift it up. I'll give you the scripture references, but this is going to make it interactive. I put a place in there that you can take notes as I'm going through the scriptures. You can type the notes in yourself, or if you're like me, like old school, I'll do all the handwriting first on paper, and I'll go through and type it. You'll be able to download this particular service onto your phone and save it so you can always reference back to notes or what have you. Also on there, there is a little question that I put there. It says, does this apply to me? Have y'all scrolled down to see that? Okay. And then you can type in there, submit your answer, and then it'll come. And it'll also give us a poll that I put on there as well. What are you waiting for, and what are you wanting to happen? You can click on either breakthrough, God's glory, healing, salvation of a loved one, and then click on it, and it'll take a poll for everybody that is on the actual site right now. And it'll show us who is desiring what. Okay? Then at the very bottom it says giving back to God. That's a very important little thing that you click on right there. Some of y'all that come in and say, well, you know, I don't have I don't have a credit card machine. Well, you can click on that. It takes you to our webpage. Also, you can do your tithe and offering right there on our PayPal. Okay? This is live on our website. It'll also go live to anybody that clicks on it. It'll go to the link, and they'll be able to pick it up. So what I want you to do, let's scroll back to the very top. You should be where it says YouVersion Live Event. Are you there? It says something is about to happen. And the first scripture is 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11 out of the Amplified. Do you see that? All right. I'll let everybody that is still trying to find it. If not, go ahead and get your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 11. Get it? Who didn't get it? Raise your hand. You don't have it? Okay, okay. Did it come up, Josh? Here. Is this one right now? That's mine. You can go through. Okay. I'm going to move along so we can get going. And I'm going to take my watch off. And if we go past the midnight mark, well, we'll just step into revival, okay? All right. This is 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, named Elkanah, son of Jerome, the son of Elihu, the son of Toa, the son of Zup, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one named Hannah and the other named Peninnah. Isn't that what it says? Not Peninnah, Hannah Peninnah, Fifi Fomana, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. This man went from his city year by year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. I want you to say Shiloh. Shiloh. Say it again, Shiloh. Shiloh. Where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were the Lord's priests. Do you see that? Verse 3. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give to Peninnah, his wife, all her sons and daughters portions of the sacrificial meat. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, for he loved her, but the Lord had given her no children. Did you read that? But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, for he loved her, but the Lord had not given her any children. Sometimes you may go through something and feel like you're not producing and things just ain't working on your behalf, but you're still going to get a double portion. You're still going to get a double portion. Verse 6, this embarrassed and grieved Hannah, and her rival provoked her greatly to vex her because the Lord had left her childless. So it was year after year, whenever Hannah went up to the Lord's house, Peninnah provoked her, so she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you cry and why do you not eat? And why are you grieving? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his bedside, a post of the temple tent of the Lord. And Hannah was in distress of soul, praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. She vowed, saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and earnestly remember not to forget your handmaid, but will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all his life. No razor shall touch his head. And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli noticed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, how long will you be intoxicated? Put wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Regard not your handmaid as a wicked woman, for out of my great complaint and bitter provocation I have been speaking. Then Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that we are a people that know how to put the word to use in our life and allow it to be applicable in our life. Father, I just thank you as we read your word that it is substance to our soul. It is also substance to our spirit that guides us in the knowing knowledge more of your son, Jesus, through the scriptures. And as we traverse through the Old Testament, Lord, it is a reflection of what is to come, a foreshadow of Jesus in the New Testament. And Father, I just thank you right now that the hearts are prepared to receive. And I thank you that every devil, every spirit that tries to lift itself before you, God, has been bound and canceled right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that every distraction is bound right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you that in the worship of reading your word, Father, you are lifted up. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Something is about to happen. He is turning nothing into something. Now, you begin to read here that Hannah began to pray, right? And she prayed weeping bitterly. She was emptying her soul. How many times have you gone through something and it feels like you just can't get the things out that need to come out? And you just go through so much. But you have to go to a place called Shiloh. And Shiloh interpreted is peace. You've got to go into the altar of peace. You've got to go seek Jesus. You've got to go seek him. He is the peace. He is the comforter. He is the Prince of Peace. You have got to go to him. She went to him and went to the altar and she laid at the altar. That the priest looked unto her and saw her just moving her lips and thought that she was drunk. How is it that a priest that is there working in the presence of God cannot discern what you're going through? And the thing is, we go through some things in our life that we're expecting that the priest of the house is supposed to understand what you're going through. But there's sometimes that God doesn't reveal it to the priest. He doesn't want everything to be exposed. He wants you to go before him so that he can say, I will take this thing. And if you empty yourself, then I will pour into you what you desire. But you first got to come. And it says here that they would go there every year. There was a habit that they created, a good habit. It was something that they looked forward to get to go and spend time with the Lord. That they also brought sacrifice, but Hannah didn't partake of any of the sacrifices because she was so sore that she didn't have any children. Have you ever felt like, I'm doing this, I'm going to you year after year, going to the altar year after year, and it seems like every time I go and pray this thing that I petition before you, there's still no outcome. How many times have you been to the altar? How many times have you made your altar in your room, your closet? Some of you in the shower, some of you in your car, some of you just when you're out walking around the neighborhood. And you say to yourself, God, I need you to hear my cry because nothing is happening. And every time I come to find peace, I find it only for a moment. But when I leave your presence, it comes right back on me. And I have been really petitioning you, God, for everything, but yet it still finds me after I leave your presence. The Bible says that the priest looked over to her and said, put that wine away. Put the wine away. The wine had nothing to do with the issue, but I want you to remember that he is the one that gives the wine unto the disciples. The Last Supper. And he says, drink this. This is my blood, which represents the new covenant. When you get under the Spirit of God, sometimes people are going to look at you and think that you just ain't right. Are you with me here today? Sometimes they'll look at you and say, well, there he goes again. And there she goes again. When are they ever going to just keep that mouth shut? When are they just going to just stop with all that noise? When are they going to stop with all that crime? When are they just going to stop going before God? If he ain't done it yet, he ain't going to do it. So people just look at other people like that. I'm talking about being in church. They're more critical in church than they are outside in the world. Because outside in the world, they're just crazy and they move on. But the church folk have a tendency to just watch you the whole time. There it is again. There they go again. There it is. And they're going to run around. They're going to jump around. Here they go again. They're going to do it again. Oh, there they go again. And ain't nothing changed yet. But they don't know that you're processing something through. They don't know that every time that you lift your voice and begin to shout unto God, that what you're doing is declaring in the atmosphere, my circumstance doesn't have me bound. My circumstance isn't where I'm going to make my residence. I've only come here for a little bit, but I know where the altar is to alter my circumstance and to make change to my life. But every time the devil wants to keep me away from the altar, I'll just make the altar wherever I'm at. Because the Bible says that Jacob was in the wilderness and he picked up a stone and he made that the altar. You can be anywhere in your life, anywhere, and you can make an altar wherever God says, meet me right here, right now. You may be standing in a Walmart and God says, I need to speak to you right now. Yes, Lord, speak. He's not asking you to be religious. He's not asking you to do all these rituals anymore. He says, I already did all that. All I want you to do is just find a place where you can commune with me. And when you can commune with me, I can do something as long as you empty of your soul first. It didn't say that every year she emptied her soul. It said this year, this time, she went before the Lord in Shiloh in peace. And she went and she began to empty of her soul. She emptied herself that so God can fill it. Amen. Well, what was she asking for? I just want me a little baby boy. Just a little baby boy. I want this baby boy so bad that when you give this baby to me, he's yours. Now, you talk about a sacrifice. I've been made fun of from my husband's other wife. She like, I ain't killed her yet, but I'm being made fun of already. Always giving me attitude, popping her nails, popping her neck. I'm about to pop her off right now, too. But you know what? I ain't saying nothing yet. I ain't saying I love my husband. I take care of my husband. I do what my husband says to do. But I've been here coming day in and day out to the altar, priest looking at me crazy. I'm about tired of all of this. But when you give me my son, this is how I know you did it. I'm going to give him right back to you. But she says one other thing that she added. That you would think, why would she even put that in there? I won't even let a razor touch his head. In other words, I'm not going to let no one go and alter what you have already given. I won't let anybody go in there and alter his looks. Because it's his looks that you have given me. It's the looks that he's going to contain and maintain throughout his whole life. So when they look at this little boy running around with long hair, I know that's your son, Jesus. I know that's your son. That no razor will hit his head. He ain't going to go through and go to the barber shop and get himself a fade. Mm-hmm. Get an edge up. Just trim off the top just a little bit. And when the grays start to come out, just color it. Just make an appointment now for my mom. Just color my hair before I leave Africa. That's all. Listen. She didn't get the opportunity to even spend time with her son, her blessing. Because that next very year, read on in the story, that next year, the husband takes off. Same thing. To go to the presence of God and make sacrifice unto the Lord. And she tells him, you go and I'll stay until I wean him off. There wasn't no Gerber, Similac. When he's weaned, then I'll present him to the Lord. I want you to go back to when you first got saved. Mama didn't want to let you loose. And the mama I'm talking about is your pastors in the house. Until you were weaned off of the milk. Until you were weaned off. Just because you got saved, you got Holy Ghost filled, don't mean you're ready to go face the world. That means you still need to stay weaned, get close to the bosom. Stay right here for the ones that will protect you and guard you, pray for you, train you up and lead you through. Then I'll release you to go do what you got to do. But until then, you're not going to do nothing until I wean you off first. Amen. Then the father looks over at her and says, I ain't going to argue with this woman because she went through a lot. Go ahead, read it. It says, you stay until you wean him and then you can bring him. You don't argue with the woman with the baby. You don't argue with the woman that has a baby because she's going to go to town on you. But she knew, she made that vow. She was crying out to the Lord at the altar. If you give me this son, I'm going to give him right back to you. She didn't get a chance to even see him go through his first day of school. Take the first baby steps. Eat the first solid food. She didn't get an opportunity to hear the first words come out of his mouth to be mama. As much as daddies would say, he said dad. No, he didn't. He says mama. He says mama. Well, no, my son said daddy. And I know, can you just put yourself in her shoes? I have been at the altar this whole time. Not only did I get to the altar, I had a journey outside of my own residence to get to the house of God. You got to get to the house of God before you can get your blessing. Mm-hmm. And for those that listen on the podcast, you can say, well, Pastor, I'm listening to your podcast. I'm getting tricked. No, you're not. You're getting caught up is what you're doing. You need to get to the presence of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the saints, meaning gathering of the saints. It didn't mean gather in front of your TV. It didn't mean gather in front of the radio. It didn't mean gather in front of the tapes or the CDs that you get because you ordered on TV. It means gather with the saints of God so that you can get into the presence of God and worship God together as a people so he can raise the people up. Oh, but, you know, we got good teaching on TV. We got, you know, all these pastors everywhere. But where's your pastor? Where's your pastor? So that he can keep you close to the breast, protect you, guard you, feed you, lift you up, and train you up. We got too many folks nowadays thinking they can go do what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. But they'll be just like the sons of Sceva coming back, dealing with those devils, come back naked and busted.
Amen. That's right.
It's not until Jesus says, okay, now you go two by two and take nothing with you but what's on you. Because when you go, when he says to go, you ain't got to take nothing. You don't have to even take anything for provisions. You don't have to take any change of clothes. Oh, hear me. I'm prophesying to myself. Just go because I'm sending you. And that every devil that wants to raise up against you, don't worry about it. I've already got the victory for you. Just go do it because I said it's time for you to go. Just go. And when you come back, you're going to give a good report. And what was that report that the disciples said? When we went out, we started casting demons out in just in your name. Oh, we were healing the sick just in your name. And every devil and every demon responded to your name. Why is that? Because the disciples understood to stay close to the Father. As Jesus stayed close to the Father. We see all the instructions in the Bible. And we see it in this particular story. Hannah just prayed for a son. She got the son. And what did she do? She sent the son to the priest. Okay, you can have them. And then if you read on the story, what'd she do? Every year she would go and she would take them a coat. Read in the story. She would take them a coat every year. Represents your mamas are going to take care of you even when you're not in their presence. They will always cover you with prayer. We read about a coat that was given to a son. But it was given from the father, given to a son. And what happened when it came from the father to the son? The son went through so much turmoil. The son went through so much persecution. The son went through so much. You've seen it throughout scripture. When a father gives something to the son goes through so much. When you read on this story, Samuel, the prophet, didn't go through it. Mamas just know how to raise some children. I said, "Well, Pastor, you know, I'm mama and dad. I got you. You know how to be a mother and a father. You know how to nurture. You know how to discipline. You know how to exhort, and you know how to lift up. And because you know how to do that, God begins to work on your behalf. Amen. You see that she pours out. She was sorrowful in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I was pouring out my soul before the Lord." He's going to turn your nothing into something.
Amen.
He's going to turn your nothing into something. I want you now to go to the next one, which is 1 Samuel 1 through 17. Did you see it? 1 Samuel 1 through 17. I take the back. I'm sorry. That's my fault. 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11. That's my fault. Do you see it? 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11. That was my mistake. But I set it up for you. Just make sure you were listening. So that's all. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, and the Amplified reads, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord." Who? Samuel. Samuel ministered. He ministered to the Lord. Before who? Eli, the priest. The same priest that saw Hannah coming and coming and coming with her husband, with the other wife, coming to the house, sacrificing to the Lord. So this priest knew this boy, because when Hannah gave this boy over, gave it to who? Eli, the priest. Okay? Now here's this. Now watch this. "The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. There was no frequent or widely spread vision." How many of you know that when God isn't speaking or giving you visions, the Bible says what? When the people have no vision, they what?
Perish.
They what?
Perish.
They die off. They perish. They fall into all kinds of craziness. Get all kind of stupefied. So in other words, the word was very rare. The word was rare. I find that very interesting that you can be in the house of God and you ain't getting a word. You can sit there and say, "God, I need you. I need you to speak. I need a word right now." And then you leave there without a word. But when I go to the house of God, I get refreshed. You can get refreshed, but you need a word to stand on, do you not? You need to stand on His word. But sometimes He's not even speaking, nor giving you visions, or even giving you anything. Not because of sin in your life, but because He wants to see how long you're going to stand on the password that He spoke. When you get so darn tired of standing on that word, that word even got your footprint, it's even molded to you, begins to fit you like an orthotic. It knows every crevice of your feet, takes the crevices of your arches, and knows everything because you've been standing on that word forever. Got so tired that just got to rest one foot. See if I can balance on this word. It should be form and fitting to me now that it holds me up because it's form and fitted to me. Oh, now, wait a minute now. I couldn't have did that before. Because the word hadn't formed to me yet. Made it a little difficult because I was standing on something that I wasn't used to standing on.
That's right.
So now that a circumstance came into my life, I had to stand on something. And I stood on it long enough that it became a part of me. It formed and fitted to me. That now I can take my balance, which the enemy was trying to get me off balance. But now I'm balanced. Not only am I balanced, but my core is even stronger because of the word that I've been standing on. Because I've had to balance myself on the word. So when He doesn't speak, it's not because He's saying that I don't love you and that you're doing something wrong. It's because I need you to stand on something for a minute. Oh, this is going to get you. This is going to get you right here. Watch this. But He was saying that to Eli, the previous priest. Samuel's just a boy. Just a boy. So Samuel's like, "I've been around this church for a while. Seen some people come and go. I've seen some people come make sacrifices. I've seen some craziness up in church, too. I've seen people just making fun of other people during the sacrifice. I've seen people make fun of people that don't have what they need to have in their situation right now. And I've seen some backbiting going on in church in here." Well, this is Samuel. You ask any one of the children that are in this church, they can mimic every single one of you that sit here as an adult. Ain't that true? Ain't that right? We've seen that happen. We know how to do them real good. Real good. Why? Because they watch. They're observant. Very observant. Now watch this. That's still just in verse 1. Verse 2. 1 Samuel 3. "At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had dimmed so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place." Whose eyes got dim? Oh, the priest. The priest. How many of you know that there's a season that God begins to dim the lights of the previous generation so He can raise up someone from another generation? Matter of fact, He didn't even raise someone up from His lineage. He raised someone up that was at the cross on her knees. that stayed before the Lord, that knew how to empty herself for what was about to happen. And what was about to happen, she didn't know happened yet. Before this baby Samuel ever came into being, all you read about is that she was right there at the altar, emptying of her soul, emptying of everything. And she didn't know that something was about to happen, but she just knew when they left. The Bible says before they even left to go back home, that her husband knew her. You know what that meant, right? You know what that means. They got to knowing each other real good for a minute. Now, how do you know that Hannah didn't already know something had already taken place? Sometimes you can go to the altar over and over and over and over and over and over and nothing ever take place. But every now and then something happens and you don't even know it. He opened up her womb and she gave birth that next year. Something already happened before she could ever see it. Before the fulfillment of what was spoken while she prayed to God. But what I see is that when she went to the place and sacrificed unto the Lord, watch this, here's the agreement, that she emptied of her soul in the petition to God, that she had to come in agreement with the priest. Woo! The priest had to say, oh, then let it be as you petition before God that he grant your petition. The agreement came, then came the promise. You want to get blessed?
Yes.
You want to stay blessed?
Yes.
Come in agreement with where God has placed you under authority.
Amen.
You don't want to get blessed? You don't want to see things happen for you? Come in rebellion against the authority that God has pushed over you.
Amen.
But when you come into agreement, that's what it was. That's what it was. Eli was a priest. He agreed with what her petition was where? At the altar. Before she even left, it was opened. How would she know it was open? She wouldn't. Some things happen before you can even see it. Something gets released before you even see the manifestation of it. But somebody else had to come in covenant together. Give an illustration with my wife. You can put your notes down, baby. She comes before the Lord and petitions. Watch this. Petitions before the Lord. Quickly. Comes and petitions before the Lord. Lord.
Oh.
At the altar. Priest looks. Oh, she's drunk. You're drunk. But she's pouring out. Then she even gives an explanation. No, I've been pouring out my soul. Priest comes in agreement with her petition. Watch this. She goes her way. Hey, baby. Meets up with husband. Knew her. Agreement. Manifestation. The agreement isn't over here. The agreement must be made, one, to the authority, and secondly, to the other authority in the house. And if you're single and you don't have that authority, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. You think, well, you don't know what it is like to be alone. No, well, hold on now, hold on. Yeah. Bed ain't kind of warm when it's just one. Move over 2 months, the other side of the bed's colder than the side you're on. But once this, you don't have anybody opposing what you believe in. You don't have anybody giving you flack for what you're believing for. You don't have anybody stopping you to do what God has called you to do. You don't have anybody telling you that you can't when God already told you you can. You don't have anybody telling you you're not going to have a baby when you can. Maybe it's not the little baby you're going to put in swaddling clothing, but you're going to put in the atmosphere that births something that is necessary for your life. Because you already have agreement by the Spirit. Do you see what's taking place here? There was agreement in every aspect that she did. Which tells me there was an agreement before every year that she went. So when it came to this particular year, there was agreement. And under agreement, supernatural things can take place. Because something's about to happen.
That's right. Amen.
Something's about to happen. Now this boy, didn't get a chance to even know his mama too well, is growing up in the house of God. He sees the priest getting older. He's like, well, who's going to step up? Who's going to take his place? Not knowing that he is the one that's being groomed. That he was the one. Watch this. Let's read it together. Verse 4. When the Lord called Samuel, he answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So the boy went and go lay down again. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli. He said, "Here I am. You did call me." Yeah. Eli answered, "I did not call you. Let me sleep. Go lay down. I'm getting old." Yeah. It's not in your Bible. It's in my head. I mean, you know, you go and interrupt someone that's falling asleep. I want to say it this way, but y'all going to look at me like, "Pastor, that's old." And they value their sleep. Mm-hmm. They value their sleep, and you go try to wake them up. You ever tried that? Yeah. Come on, put your Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing either. You're right there. Don't say nothing either. Don't say nothing. Go wake a sleeping bear. Come on. Think about this. Don't just read the Bible just to read it. Oh, I've read that story. I know that story. Think about the man. Can't see very well. The Bible says his eyes are going dim. He can't see. Have you run into somebody that can't see real well? And God ain't speaking like he used to speak, or even giving visions like he used to give. And you're the priest that people rely on. You follow that? And you got this little kid that's not even yours. In the service. In the house. Always running to you for questions that he has because he wants to learn. "Leave me alone, boy. Go lay down." Your Bible don't have that on there? This is Marty's version of the Bible. But understand. He couldn't see. Why is it that we always go to someone that has no vision? Wow. We'll go to someone who has no vision and constantly go for them for answers. But when you look at their fruit, you still don't see that they got no vision. You can see how their life is in disarray. You can see how things in their marriage is just not right. You can see how they treat each other out in public. But yet you'll run because you see a gift. But the gift is not the thing that you run to. Jesus didn't run to anybody that had a gift. He says you know them by their fruit to know where the root is at. But why is it we have a generation always running to people that have no vision? Well, God was speaking to a younger generation, to a baby that was given at birth. Given. When Jesus entered into this earth, he took on vision, authority, and he took on dominion, which we lost in the garden. He took it. And when he took that, he began to walk on this earth and he began to teach us things that we needed to learn about the Father and about the kingdom so that we can understand how to operate it here on earth. So we had to watch him. Get around someone that knows how to follow Jesus. Get around someone that knows how to just trust Jesus, even when it don't look like they're trusting Jesus. But when you can see them and say, "I didn't even know that was on you. I didn't know you were diagnosed with that. I didn't even know you were going through so much trouble like you're going through. I could never tell." How could you not tell? Because you always got a smile on your face. The fruit tells you where the root is at. You ever been around someone that they get a little nasty? Quite often. Every time you look at that wall, you've seen all these little patches that have been made. The paint don't even match no more. Even every now and then you just look at it and say, "Oh, you forgot to paint that patch, and that patch." Why? Because you're going to make another hole to match that patch? Because you haven't dealt with your issue of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. You haven't dealt with any of that. You're judging by the fruit. But we have a younger generation in the story here that is running to someone that has no vision. Watch. Watch this in verse 8, new beginning. And the Lord called Samuel the third time. How many times have God called you by name? Mm-hmm. How many of you have heard that God call you by your name and wake you up? Raise your hand, raise your hand. Raise your hand. We're in class today. Raise your hand. Okay. Now, have you heard him call your name twice? Huh? Twice, right? Will. Huh? Must be dreaming. Because I didn't have enough sleep last night. Whew. Will. God, is that you? Cricket. And then let you go lay back down again. But still calls you even though. Will. Yes. I'm listening. Have you guys ever felt that way?
Yes.
God, I know you're calling me. You've been calling me even by my first name, my middle name, and you put it all together and ran it together. I knew you were calling me, but you still hadn't spoken to me anything just yet. He's speaking to a generation to get their attention to say, I'm about to speak to you. I'm about to do something. Finally, watch this. It says in verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me with attitude this time. Then Eli perceived. Oh, here we go. Now Eli figures out something. Oh, wow. I remember when God used to do that to me. Why isn't he calling me Eli? But he's calling you Samuel. I perceive to be the Lord calling you now. Do you see the switch? Watch. So Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called. Watch this. He came and stood. Do you see that? He came and stood and called as the other times, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Verse 11, the Lord told Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, which both ears of all who hear it shall tingle. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. He called and called first. Make sure y'all are awake. Don't go to sleep. He calls them the first two times, but it didn't say he stood. The third time he calls them and stands.
Will. And Will says, yes, Lord, speak. Agreement. For your servant is listening. How many of you are listening today? How many of you are listening for God to speak? When do you go to sleep, during the day or do you go to sleep at night? Just make sure, some people work different hours. Everybody go to sleep in here at night? So when did he speak?
At night.
Woke him up out of his sleep to tell him he's about to do something. What was he about to do? A thing. That's it, a thing. How many of you walked around, God, I need you to do something for me. I need to do something. And then he shows up, I'm going to do a thing. What thing? You see my list. Every time I went to the altar, I have a long old list. I make sure I go through every single list that I pray. Which thing you're going to do? Can you be a little bit more specific? You're a God of specifics, right? Because when you spoke to Noah, you gave him specific dimensions.
Amen.
I Speak, Lord.
I'm going to do a thing.
What thing? What thing are you going to do? How many of you need a thing to be done right now for you?
Yes,
that's the thing God's going to do.
Yes.
God's about to do something because something's about to happen. Yes. Have you ever felt empty? Have you felt like you've emptied of everything that you know to do? That checklist with that you go to the altar. Lord, I forgive this one. I forgive myself. I forgive my cat. Tore me up. I tore the cat up. I don't forgive the cat. The dogs. If I had a fish, I forgive the fish. I am empty.
I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to do a thing.
Where did he say he was going to do it?
Israel.
Church. Every time you read in scripture, Israel represents the church. What are you about to do?
I'm going to do a thing in the church.
What are you going to do in the church? The thing that you've been asking me. Well, I've asked you a lot.
I'm going to do a thing.
I've asked for breakthrough.
I'm going to do a thing.
God, I've been praying for glory.
I'm going to do a thing.
Lord, I've been praying for healing.
I'm going to do a thing.
Lord, I've been praying for someone in my family to get saved.
I'm going to do a thing.
You think that your petitions go before God and he don't hear them? He even hears the things that you don't even ask for. Because you're afraid to ask it. You're afraid that someone may be watching you as you're asking it. You're afraid that if you're asking, it may be selfish, and you think that God is not going to allow you to ask for something of yourself. So you go through the ritualistic thing and you start praying for everybody else and asking for everything else for everybody else but what you need. It wasn't until she emptied of herself that God granted what she needed. What she needed. Not for Israel. Nothing else. But watch this. The thing that she gave to God is who God spoke to. I hope you hear this. I hope you're hearing this. The one that gave the boy away, the gift, the blessing, was given back to God. And God speaks to that very blessing. Didn't go back to speak to mama or daddy, did he? God spoke to the very blessing that he brought through as a miracle. Same thing that what he did with Jesus. When Jesus came into the earth, he didn't go back to speak to Mary again like he spoke to Mary when Mary came in and saw the angel. He didn't go speak to Mary. He didn't go speak to Joseph. He spoke right to Jesus now. Because now the gift that I've given, I'm going to speak to the gift. Have you ever put your son on the altar? Yeah. Look at your son now. You ever put your son on the altar? I know for a fact you did because I'm standing here now. It was the hardest time in your life and in my life. We didn't even speak to each other. I didn't take any of her phone calls. I didn't go see her at the place of business. I didn't even go get my hair cut from her. I went to this place. They tore my hair up. And I ain't going to go see mama. I'll go over here and pay $30 for a haircut that ain't worth the dang. Now I got to go get it fixed somewhere else. I ain't going to go on my own because mama didn't tell me. Why are you coming to me? I don't want to hear it. But when she put me on the altar, she says, you're God's now. I wash my hands with you. There's nothing I can do. You're in his hands. And I went through so much hell. So much hell. That I went through trying to kill myself. Over and over and over. That I stood before a gun, took the gun out of the man's hand, and I put it to my own head. I said, you pull the trigger, and I'll hold it for you so you don't miss. Scared the crap out of that boy. He went boo-boo all over him. And you would think I was the one scared. But when God has a plan, and he has purpose, he doesn't go back and speak to mama no more. He comes and speaks to the gift that was given to him. And tells me now, well, as you're standing right there in front of that man that's about to pull that trigger, I have a plan for you and you don't even know me.
Amen. Who's talking?
Amen.
take the gun away and give it back to the guy. Here. And that cocaine right there is not yours. It's mine now. Took it and did it right in front of him. He got all mad. You got the gun. I don't. But I'm taking your drugs. And I'm going to do it right in front of you. I want to get out of here. Wouldn't happen. Tell you exactly where it was at. It's a Taco Cabana right there on Bandera Road, right next to Henry Puffy Taco. I walked out of that bathroom. I went and got my order, my bean and cheese tacos, sat down. Just with the eight ball in my hand. If y'all don't know what that is, that's cocaine. And I put it right on the table. You know how Taco Cabana late at night, they have police officers there. Yeah. On that tray with my ID. Police officer walked right by. That guy staring right at me, can't believe what I'm doing in front of him. True story. When God has a plan, he selects an individual. Hear this. Sometimes he has to hide them in the world. Jesus got born. He didn't go back to talk to Mary and Martha. He didn't go back to talk to Mary and Joseph. He didn't go back to go and talk to anybody else. He just said, Jesus is my beloved son. In the wilderness, get into the place of transition now. Get baptized. When you come out of that place of transition, I'm going to fall right upon you. And when I fall right upon you, I'm going to lead you even to a deeper challenge. I'm going to pull you so far deep, I'm going to make Satan himself come and talk to you. Not his little demons, Satan himself. But I watch you because I know you. You were given to me so I can give to them. Have you had a loved one going through so much? God knows what they need to go through. And God knows how much to put on them. Consider my servant Job, says the Spirit of God. You can do everything, but you can't touch his life. You can't take him. And at that very moment in my life, I didn't understand that I was being a Job at that moment. But I didn't know God. And he still saved me because of the prayers of Mama. Are you hearing me? The prophet did not know what was going on in his life, but he would go to the only thing that he knew was to go to the priest in whom he was being trained under. But the priest didn't have no more vision. And so he kept on and kept on going back. And finally, when Jesus shows up and speaks, Jesus is the one in this story that is speaking to him now. I'm about to do a thing in Israel. Jesus begins to tell him about him coming. He's announcing that he's coming to the church. Why don't you put your hands on your heart? Put your hand on your heart. I'm the church. Don't say it like you know you're the church. I'm the church. God's about to do a thing. In the church. What is in your heart right now? Your desires. What is in your heart that you need God to do? Your desires. And maybe your desires are not for you. Maybe they are for your sons. Maybe they're for your daughters. Maybe they're for a loved one that doesn't know him. But that's what God is about to do. Maybe you need God to come through for your mama or your daddy. That's what he's about to do because he's heard your cries. He's seen you at the altar of Shiloh, peace, because you came to the Prince of Peace and you emptied of yourself. And he says, I'm about to do a thing and I'm about to turn something from nothing. What you have in your heart, he put there so he can do a thing concerning what's in your heart. Many people say, well, the heart is the most deceptive place. That's when you put your own things in there, not God. He's about to do a thing. And who's in your heart and that you've been travailing for and believing for, even if it's for yourself, he's about to do a thing for you. He's about to do a thing. Why don't you go to the next point and go down? It's John chapter 2, verse 7 through verses 11 in the English Standard Version. Watch this. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. What did he say? Fill the jars. Fill them with what?
Water.
Water is always indicative of the Holy Spirit. Fill those vessels with water, not just halfway, not three quarters, but fill it to the brim with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first. And when the people are drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of his signs Jesus did in Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. What I want you to understand is God is about to turn something from nothing. Many people said that he mixed grape juice with the water, or he put other things in that water. The Bible clearly states that he said, fill it so that there's no room for anybody to put anything else in it. Sometimes you got to just let the Holy Spirit fill you up and not let anybody else put anything else in there, so that when he draws from you, he's drawing what he put in, not what anybody else put in, but he filled it to the rim. And then he told the servants, now take that and take it to the bridegroom and draw from it. Draw from it. And when he tastes it, it's going to be the best wine he's ever tasted. The best wine. What I find a little interesting here is that who's going to invite Jesus to a wedding when there's wine all over the place? You know, some of those that don't get invited because they're too holy rollers. Because you don't want them around you because they're going to condemn you. You know what I'm talking about? You know, those sisters, those brothers that, like, I can't invite them over because they see me pick up a glass of wine, they're going to start prophesying to me and just casting demons. I ain't got no demon. I'm just going to enjoy this wedding. And when there's a wedding, it's a wedding that lasts for a week. But listen, hey, bring Jesus. Invite him to come. That brother knows how to have a good time. Are you going to invite someone who's going to be a Debbie Downer to the wedding? Or are you going to invite someone that knows how to get down?
Yeah, get down.
Huh? Jesus did the first moonwalk. He went up to the moon, walked in, and came back. Jesus, where'd you go? Oh, I was up at the moon. I created it, so I had time to go play with it, and I came back down here. What y'all want? This wedding's all right, but y'all don't see what I'm about to do, because you guys are just over here acting a fool. I've been here watching you. I've been here with my disciples. They're looking at me. How are you having fun? Don't you see that there's sinners in here? And then I look over them. You're just a sinner just as well, Peter. Oh, really? Oh, just because you're John, the one that I love? It's only written in your book that you wrote. Why don't you just quit judging everybody? Have a good time. Go out there and go do the cumbia with them. There, look, they're about to do the chicken dance. Just get out there and do the chicken dance. Peter, you know the chicken dance. The rooster, the one's going to crow three times. Go do that dance before you can... So Peter went out there and did the Hebrew hop. No. How are you going to invite Jesus to a wedding? But they made it a point to get Jesus to the wedding. Did they not? I was going to go in this route. Papa was a rolling stone. Papa was a rolling stone. Find that song, brother. Papa was a rolling stone. Now watch this. He went to a place that everybody having a good old time. And when everybody was drunk, watch this. The first miracle ever recorded in history was for drunk folks. They were drunk. They got no more wine. Jesus, it only the third day in this wedding, and we're out of wine. You later are going to silence the storm. Can you stop the earth from moving a little bit? I've been standing on that word, but it's, I can't stand no more.
Amen.
But we ought to why. I love you, Jesus. My wife, I love her. She's so beautiful. And I don't why. And along come Mama. The one that the angel spoke of. Mary.
Mary, thou art highly favored of the Lord. And you shall birth forth a son and call him Emmanuel. God with us.
Can you imagine Mary at this wedding? What does Mary do? Jesus, they're out of wine. Make them some wine. I read it because in my Bible's different. God knows this, but hold on. Mijo, mira. Mira. I have the mariachis. They're getting ready to come in. But we don't have no more wine. And mira, Peter is over there eating all the menudo and the mole.
Mira, Peter.
Mira. Ay, Jesus, mijo, mira. John, your beloved.
No, hombre,
he's over there with Peter, too. The old dice. Tell them about that. Or you do the fishing rod. And then Jesus steps in. Pastor, how you don't get all the way from Samuel the prophet and Hannah till you get over here to this wedding? Talking about acting like a fool. Remind me of my first wedding, second wedding, third wedding, fifth wedding. All those weddings I had because, you know, we had all these kind of weddings because you could never make up your mind who your spouse was. And we never invited Jesus. But I should have invited Jesus because Jesus has something going on. Jesus had to know that when he got there, he was not there for the church. So watch this. Now watch what it said. Samuel said that God said, I'm about to do something for the church. Here comes Jesus on the scene now. Pastor, how you transition all the way? Because we, the church, are not the ones that are holy, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. We, the church, are the ones that have issues in our life that he's going to come in. Regardless of what your issue is, he's going to do something that's going to make you a believer of who he really is. And what is the first thing that he does? He makes you drink water, the Holy Ghost, but it turns into new revelation of who he is. And he does it at a wedding that is based upon a covenant because he is the bridegroom. You are the bride, and when he comes together to get you, oh, you're going to be drunk in the Holy Ghost for real. And you're going to be so drunk, they're going to look at you and say, put the wine away. You're at the altar of God. Just like what happened when he gave the Holy Ghost to the people in the upper room. They came out into the open, and they said, they're drunk with wine. He says, it's only the afternoon. It's only the afternoon. They ain't drunk that much yet. I can see if it was nighttime, then they may be drunk. But it was the afternoon. It was only the beginning of the happy hour. And when he looked at them, Peter, the same Peter that was eating the mole and the chicken, the menudo, that was cutting up and doing the sprinkler, doing the dice. He looked at Peter. Remember, he looked at Peter. I'll make you a fisherman. Peter was doing that fishing one. All right? Now watch. Peter's the one that understood something because he got revelation of who Jesus is. And because he got revelation of who Jesus is in his now situation, he began to be the greatest revivalist of all time. The one that walked away from Jesus and denied him three times. Three times. The same three times that Samuel the prophet denied the call. Three times and went and laid back down. Many of us deny the call when he calls us in the midnight hour that we go back right back to sleep. But he keeps on calling until you say, yes, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. That he stands and he says, I'm about to do a thing in Israel. I'm about to do a thing. I'm about to do a thing. What do you need God to do? Stand to your feet. What do you need God to do? Huh? What do you need him to do? Play that song. What do you need him to do? Huh? You need him to come through and roll the stone away from the well. Maybe you need him to come through and break off some things off your lineage. Maybe you need him to come through and allow you to have life once again, because you've been so caught up being a Christian that you don't know how to live life to the fullest. And he came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. Yes, we're in church and we're playing a secular song, but I live in a world that knows how to take things out of the church when it was originally in the church. And God says, I am the one that stands and says, I'm about to do a thing. I'm about to bring people that left my church and went into the secular, and I'm going to bring them back. And they're going to understand that when the words come out of their mouth, it's going to give me praise. It's going to give me glory. It's going to turn people away from the things of this world and make them have an appetite for the things of the kingdom. Because he says, you're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You're blessed when you're coming and you're blessed when you're going. Let me break it down on the real for you. When you're blessed in the city, it's the city of God. When you're blessed in the field represents the world. You're blessed when you come into the world and you're blessed when you go out. Jesus is about to do a thing in the church. Now I'm making it very personal. He's about to do something here in the house of manna. He's about to do something in your personal life for you. Because I know how to stay in covenant with Jesus. Even when I don't want to wake up, I get up. Even when I don't want to pray, I pray. Even when I don't want to preach, I preach. I know what God is saying. If you stand and believe, I'm about to do a thing. And I'm going to do it with those that are in agreement with you. And because they're in agreement with you, I can agree with them and manifest something in their life. You have been suffering some things. You may have been going through a lot of things in your life. But God is about to get rid of all that. Because he's doing a thing for you. He's going to turn something from nothing. If you're going through some lack in your life, something is about to come forth and into an abundance. He is about to fill what was empty. And he's going to make it useful at the proper time. The proper time. He's going to do it in his timing. His timing. All you got to do is keep coming to the altar. Keep coming to the altar. You ain't done it yet, God, but you don't know that that time when you leave the altar today can be the time that he already did it. You didn't know that it was already done because he says, I'm about to do a thing. I'm going to turn something from nothing into something. Something that is good for my glory. Something that is good. Oh, something that should have taken you out is the thing that kept you alive.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hmm. It was the third of September.
Kept you alive. But it was there to take you out. I believe that that man that had that gun could have been a crazy man that went ahead and shot anyhow. But I believe that the hand of God steadied it so that it wouldn't go off. Even when it was in my hand, the crazy fool at that time wanted to kill myself. He steadied it. And that very moment at that time was where I placed an altar that even now today I can say, you really held my life right there. Amen. And you kept me from going into the grave because I was on my way there. Because you had a purpose and a plan for me that I knew not of. I didn't even know you, but I began to walk after you, seek after you, and run after you. Once I got that understanding, that revelation, I got intoxicated with his love. And when that intoxication came for his love, I'm making sure that I don't lose that intoxication with him. I don't care what kind of craziness goes on in my life. I know that God's got me. He's got me. And you've got to know that he's got you. Whatever things that have come up and stood against you, that's been challenging you, he's got you. Because God says, I'm about to do a thing. But the key here is that he's going to do it in your night season. When he spoke to Samuel, they were asleep. And he says, I'm about to do a thing in Israel. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, he's about to do something. He's about to do something. Now, for the next minute and a half, I want you to just lift your voice unto God. I said a minute and a half. I want you to lift your voice to God. Give your petition before Him. If you got to cry, shout, run around, I don't care what you do. But you tell God and come in agreement with this very word. And He is about to do it. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because God is about to do something. God is about to do something. Are you ready? One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe what you're about to do. I believe that you're going to heal my body. I believe you're going to save my son. You're going to save my family. You're going to save my neighbor. You're going to bring healing to a people. You're going to bring healing in Jesus' name. God, I thank you. I thank you, God. Come on. Come on. You have been doing it for so long, but you ain't seen your breakthrough. Now is the time to get your breakthrough. Get your breakthrough. Come on. Come on. Let the devil know he's not going to take it from you. You're going to take it from the devil. So come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. It's just a minute and a half. Come on. Come on. We need some people that know how to praise God. They know how to worship God and know how to not take no for an answer. Come on. Come on. We're letting the devil know. Now God's about to do something. He's about to do something right now. Don't be waiting. Just know that when you get to the altar, God said, I'm about to do a thing in the church. I'm about to do a thing in the church. Now let Him do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, bless the sweet Jesus. I want you to hear their petitions. Hear their cries. Understand them. I don't want nothing that you know. I want you to play your own way. Don't play nothing you know. I know that God is about to do something in the church. Do something in the body of Christ. And when He does it, He's going to do it on the behalf of your people. Everybody you're praying for and everything you're believing for. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. You have to empty of yourself and cry from your very soul. And you emptied your soul and God began to speak at that very moment and say, I'm about to do a thing in the church. He's going to turn your nothing into something. He's going to turn something from nothing. As you stand and believe that God is going to do it. That He's going to do it. Even when you lose hope. Even when you want to give up and quit. He's going to turn that quitting spirit into a fighting spirit. He's going to turn that thing around. He's going to turn it all around. Grab your stuff. I don't want those. Come on. I'm going to speak to you guys and you're going to hear this. When you go to war, you don't go to war unprepared. You go to war prepared. Prepared. So that you know that the enemy has taken notice that you come and you mean business. Business. Well, I had a song in mind. There's a song already inside of you. When it's the Spirit of God, He'll lead and pull and extract it together and it'll be in perfect harmony. You just got to let that thing that's inside of you come out. Quit going to what you believe up here to know that the way to go. Let God teach you even in the midst and under the anointing, and you'll see that it'll change and transform everything and how you wanted to play. Now go into the battle knowing that you're going to win this battle. When you know you're going to win this battle, you don't lollygag to get there. You get there and you start declaring. And if we've got to run these tenants out of here, then that's what we're going to do. Because the Bible says that when I establish a church, I establish it so it can't be hidden. I establish it. And we're being established today. You will have opposition before service, during service, and after service. But the word of God, the gospel, shall be preached. And it'll be preached without any hindrances. We will continue on because God says so. And when He speaks into the house sends a clarion call up into the heavens. And then the angels of God hear the clarion call and answer unto the church, the angel that is established over the church. And when the angel has been established over the church, God now has a conduit to work through. And every now and then he will call the minstrels to go first. And as the minstrels go first, they prepare the way of the ark, the presence of God, to enter in. Now go into battle knowing that you have victory in every area of your life. Oh Jesus, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes, Lord. We're taking back everything. Everything that the enemy has taken from us. And we serve notice right now by the Spirit of God. We're taking back everything. Everything. Nothing to remain in the camp of the enemy. We are about to plunder and take our goods. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Did I come in agreement with you? And I come in agreement within your heart and what God has told you to do. I come in agreement with you right now. If you had some things that have not gone through because some people haven't lined up, because they've been disobedient, God is going to raise up another source. He's going to raise up another resource. He's going to raise it up so that his purpose can be fulfilled here on earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Now play on, play on. Elder Allen, I want you to go ahead and get the envelopes out. I want you to hand them out to the people. Hand out the envelopes, Elder. Thank God for the ability to not just to declare but to receive. We can declare in the atmosphere, but we must receive by spirit. And when you receive, you will see a manifestation of what God has spoken into your life. And I know that God is saying that I'm going to do a great thing in your life. I'm going to do a thing that is necessary for you, not only for you but for your family, for your church, for your city, and for a territory. But your labor has not been in vain, and your seeds have not fallen into the ground by the wayside. Your seed has fallen on fertile ground. And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the fertile ground of the Spirit of God. Because when you give unto God, and He gives back unto you what you give in the manner that you sow it. We had a wonderful turnout, even in the rain last Saturday, for our barbecue, our fundraiser, and our rummage sale. Nothing can stop a rummage sale, and nothing can stop chicken from being cooked on a grill. And we made some wonderful money and some headway. I've purchased my ticket for Africa. Yay! So there's a couple more things I've got to get done, and I want to make sure the house is paid before I leave. I want to make sure my wife has no quarrels about any type of bills that need to be paid. I don't want her worrying about nothing but preaching. That's it. And when I'm in Africa, I don't want to worry about, did the church get paid? Did the house get paid? Did the lights get paid? I don't want to worry about none of that. I want to know that when I'm praying my wife is going to bring the word, and the word of God is going to go forth. So I've had people say, well, it don't cost that much to go to Africa. Okay. Okay. It don't cost that much. You're right. But I will never leave my house and the house that God has given me to steward out of order. I will leave it in order, and I will put things in its place so that when I do go, God can honor my faithfulness and my service unto him. When you do things in order for God, in the way that he mandated it, you'll see what he'll do for you and the order that he mandated for you. So I know that God is going to do it all the way through. I had a phone call yesterday, say, I've got the money for your passport for you. When you're ready to go, I'll take you. So he's working things out. Working things out. So I know he's going to do it. Amen. So I thank you all that participated in the barbecue and the rummage sale and everything, jumping fences and putting things out because the key was, you know, I appreciate that. Every single one of you, every seed that you have sown and everybody that has put prayers towards this, I thank you for it. And you're going to see a manifestation of something very good. I know it. I believe it. Because I believe in what you give because out of the condition of your heart that God has already spoken, and you give with a willing heart. Because you do that, God can see your heart, and you'll see the harvest come because of how you sow. So without trying to get you to do anything else, just be obedient to God, and that's it. Some of you were obedient and were selling, making things and selling things, and God, that's how God blessed the mission trip. Now God knows that he's going to make something on your behalf, and he's going to turn some things around. So I thank God for that. And I thank you guys for being obedient. I thank you for allowing some time. I know we went over. But I believe that this is the word of the Lord for the house. Amen. I really believe it. And I believe that God is about to do something and turn something from nothing. From nothing. We started with nothing. And we're getting ready to step into our fourth year under the House of Manna ministry. And I can look back and say, I'm already going to Africa. Because I was obedient just to go to Houston. And I didn't see fruit, but I see fruit now. You see? You never know whose hand you're going to shake, whose neck you're going to hug. Because he's got something in plan, because he's watching after you. Amen. Should you lift your offering before the Lord as a wave offering? Father, I thank you for each and every individual that is here today and the family that they represent. I thank you that they represent a tribe, a destiny, and a dynasty that they represent, God. And I thank you that today that you have spoken unto the church, you're about to do a thing, and you're going to turn something from nothing. So God, we just give you praise and honor for your word to be true yesterday, today, and forever. And as we sow the seed, God, we give it to you. We give it into your hands. And Father, I thank you that we're blessed coming and going. And I thank you, God, that this week will be a week of more testimonies. More testimonies. And Lord, I just thank you that there will be an increase of the oil in their lives, God. In their lives. And I thank you for an increase and a manifestation that this is the day that the Lord has made. And we shall be glad and rejoice in it. As we sow today, God, we believe by faith that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there's not enough room for us to contain it. And that you will rebuke the devourer for our sake. And I thank you, God, that scripture we can test you and prove you, and that to see if it's true or to see if you're even God. But your scripture says, God, you're a God that cannot lie. Because you say it, it is truth. So, God, I just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name that your word is true. And it manifests back into their lives. The miracles that are necessary that money cannot perform or do. But the supernatural power of God can go through and do a thing for them. And God, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. You can come and serve the Lord. God bless you. Go in the presence of God upon your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.